hey, pray about it. Be in prayer about every ministry. There it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. We're going to read down to verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 10. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother have a wife that believeth not, and she be blessed, be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which was with a husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean. But now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. Verse 16. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? Now we've been looking for the last 2 weeks at 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. And we looked last week at singled and married life and how Paul said he wished that everybody was like him. But if you couldn't be like him, to take your husband or a wife so that you wouldn't burn, so that you would not be tempted into fornication. And now this week, as we look into verse number 10 through 16, we are going to look at what we would call an unbalanced marriage, a mixed marriage. Something happened during the course of life here in the Corinthians that they were lost, perhaps, and one got saved and one was lost. So they began to ask questions about this. The Corinthian Christians thought that since they had gotten saved and they had married to someone that lost, maybe they should separate themselves. Maybe they should leave the unsaved companion and go their way. Listen, that's going to happen in life. It's going to happen in life where folks are married, one gets saved and the other one is lost and living. And so Paul makes some judgments upon this with the help of the Holy Spirit of God. The Christian relationship, dear friend, is very important. First of all, we should have our relationship right with God. It has to be right with God. Now, when you're lost and a couple is lost, we reach out to them with the gospel. One of them gets saved. The other one doesn't get saved. Listen, it is best that they stay together, because that separation, it's not going to fix the marriage. With the saved one here and the lost one over here, that one's just going to stay lost. This is going to save and be miserable. Mine over here. And Paul said, listen, that's not what you should do. To save is not to depart from the unsaved companion. Stay together in verse 10 like that and work it out and make things work the best of the ability. Now listen, things can get intolerable. Things can be so terrible and so bad and get to the point where humanly speaking, that in the eyes of man and woman, and in the eyes of the government, and the eyes of even sometimes the church, it just seems like, hey, the only result left, the only thing left to do is that there be a separation, or even, God forbid, even a divorce. But there are some instructions for that. You notice those instructions there in verse number 11. But if she depart, let her remain unmarried. I know it's not a popular thing that we've been talking about this week, dear friend, but it is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. We got to deal with it. And listen, again, I'm going to say, it is far better to be lonely than to marry and be miserable. I'm I'm telling you, far better. Prayer. Consideration of the person, the background. Nowadays, I'm just going to tell you, young ladies, if you're contemplating marriage, a background check won't hurt. Men, a background check won't hurt. Just telling you. Y'all heard about the story in the news today. Girl got married just for the experience of marriage, the wedding experience. 1 week later, she shoves her husband off a cliff. Yeah? Marriage is for 1 30-minute, the wedding is 30 minutes, dear friend. I mean, that's all. If it goes beyond 30 minutes in the wedding ceremony, we've gone a little bit too far in my mind. Just going to be honest with you. You don't need 45 minutes, an hour and a half to marry somebody. Just hitch them up and let them get. Consider this thing of marriage, dear friend. Consider it. But when we reach out to our community, we can't be reaching out just to saved homes. We're going to reach out and there are going to be lost folks. There's going to be times that a husband's not going to get saved or a wife's not going to get saved, and one of them's going to come to the church, and there's going to be battles. There's going to be battles. But there are biblical things that must have precedence in our life. You know, we need to be careful that we are always dissatisfied in a good way with our spiritual life. Because if I'm dissatisfied, it prompts me to grow. Sometimes we get so complacent. We're just okay where we're at. We're satisfied. Paul said, I have apprehended not. That's almost saying, I am not reached a point where I am satisfied. And so when this happens, and God forbid when it happens, but it does happen, we as a church have to be very careful that we meet the needs of the saved one that is in the house of God, and much prayer for the lost one. But stay with them. Don't separate. Stay with them. If it pleases the lost to stay with you, stay with them. Prayer, supplication, and fast. Listen, that saved person, first off, if you're not married, I would counsel you, please marry within your denomination. Seriously. You don't want to go down the road and have children. That's a little bit off the track there, but you don't want to have children and you're married to somebody that wants to christen the child at birth and you believe in believer's baptism, because somebody is going to have to give up and it's going to cause much heartache and pain. Much heartache and pain. But if you've already walked down that path, you're going to have to remember, when you said I do, and he said he does, or vice versa, and y'all get hitched up and you're married, the Bible says you're one flesh, and you got to work together. Work together. Work to stay together. Work in a way, because listen, the Christian relationships with our Heavenly Father got to be right, and our relationships with our spouse has to be right, even if they're lost. Because they're your husband, they're your wife. You have to live together and love one another. And just by chance, by prayer and fasting, supplication and mutual agreement and affection toward one another, who knows that your meek spirit may change their heart. and they trust the Lord Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. So, preacher, I've been married now 15, 20 years and it ain't happened yet. Your responsibility is to be Christ-like. As hard as it may be. Verse 11, but if she depart, let her remain unmarried and are reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. Verse 12, but to the rest speak I, and not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that dwell not, and she be pleased to that believeth not, and if she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath a husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. Now, this is not teaching us that if I'm saved and my wife is lost, that she's saved because I'm saved. It's not teaching us that my wife is saved because I'm saved and my children are saved. What this is saying is that if the two were to depart and to be separate and say we're not married anymore, it leaves the children in a cycle of the same thing over and over and over. It leaves the children as unclean, or you might say illegitimate is what they would use in our day and age. So you don't leave, you stay together, work at it, pray. Let me say this here real easy. If you are divorced, don't beat your children, spouse, father or mother up in front of them. That's not good. Don't downtrod the dead. He may have been the sorriest no good thing in the world, but don't beat up the daddy or the mama in front of the children. Your sweet spirit, you're relying on the Holy Spirit of God and putting a Christ-like spirit before them will do a whole lot more for them. I'm telling you, this is probably one of the most difficult passages nowadays that a preacher will ever touch on, because it is just so prevailing in our society anymore. It used to be that outside the church, that's where it happened, but now it's in the church. So what do we have to do? We have to work together, love one another, find places where they can serve, present the truth of the Word of God in love and tenderness and kindness, realizing that the truth many times cuts really deep, really sharp. It's not always easy in the flesh to take Scripture for face value. But it is the truth. So you work through these difficult times, these difficult hours. And you say, well, preacher, I've already gone contrary to that. I guess I should just back up and redo it. No, you can't do that. Once you've unscrambled the egg, you can't unscramble it. You say, Lord, I didn't realize I shouldn't have done that. Forgive me, Father, for doing wrong in that area, and help me to love you and serve you the best that I know how, and with all that's within me. Help me to find a church and church people who will understand that I am a piece of rough cut lumber to be gentle with me as they sand with the Word of God. You see, you can take some sandpaper that is real rough and thick and grainy, and man, you can rough things up pretty good. But if you take that sandpaper that's fine and thin, and just a little bit like an emery board, and you rub it, you rough it up, but you don't gouge it up. So in portions of Scripture, when we come across things like this, and we're in these types of passages as we move along, and your life has already done crossed the path where it done went crossways with God's plan, God's not done with you. Not done with you at all. You love the Lord. You love the service of God. So that down the road, as you have chance and opportunity and available mentoring times with other people, you can help them not to go down that same road. I'll tell you, ladies, this is what the Bible talks about. Let the elder ladies teach the younger. Let the elder men teach the younger. These are the lessons that we need to help them. These are the lessons that when we come across them and we've made those mistakes and we've already crossed that bridge of heartache and pain and suffering, and we see how it has affected our life and our children and everything else. When we have opportunity to be around those younger kids, listen, 25, they need some counseling. They need to know. They need to understand that, hey, when I make these choices in life, it's not just for 1 week. I can't shove my husband off the cliff because I wanted to just get married and walk down the aisle. Doesn't work that way. This is a sad thing about it. That man's dead. His parents and kids and mama, daddy, aunts, uncles, brother, friends, they're heartbroken. But this woman's fixing to go to jail, and her mama and her daddy and her family, they're heartbroken. It's a nasty situation. That's why we get into making decisions for life. We need to go by the truth of the Word of God. We need to ask some serious questions. Listen, we need to know that, hey, this person which my heart yearns for, is she saved or is he saved? That should be the first thing you want to know about somebody. Hey, you born again? Ask them, hey, you got your BA degree? No, I ain't even been to college yet. I ain't talking about a college degree. I'm talking about a born-again degree. You saved. You know Christ. Because I'm telling you, two people come together and the Bible says they'll be one flesh. They need Christ. It's hard enough, dear friend, with Christ in the center. Because we are selfish people by nature. We desire what we want and she desires what she wants. Listen, fingernails and toenails and coloring in hair by a whole lot of shotgun shells, buddy. But you're going to have to give. You have to give. And sometimes you just got to simply give up your own wants for the need of the other. Just have to say, hey, I want that. But like Christ gave Himself for the church so sacrificially, I'm going to give up that so that they can have this. And you work it out. And we take our life experiences and we don't harbor them inside in hurt and pain. We need to learn to share those experiences so that others don't cross down that path. My mother and father got divorced when I was 5 years old. I left my brothers and I there. And I grew up angry, bitter, mad. Why did he have a father and I didn't have a father? Why did my mama do this? It happens. And I can't be angry and bitter and mad at my mother or my father because of their decisions. I have to love one as much as I love the other one, even though they don't live in the same home. And that's why it's so much necessary that we do not run the other one down to the youngins. They're going through enough pain. You're hurting. And I know why we do that. We do it because we're hurt. Hurt people hurt each other. Someone says something to you. Listen, it's not always easy to turn the other cheek. Christ knew that. But we're much better off for it when we do. When we suffer loss, our Heavenly Father takes note. Takes much concern and care about our life. That's why our relationship with Christ is so important, with God is so important. Let me tell you something. When you present Christ in that home that's divided because of salvation like that, you are presenting them an open opportunity to really experience the love of Christ. And it's the love of Christ that changes. It's the love of Christ that changes people. The saved partner is not to leave the unsaved and say, well, I'm just going to have to fix this right now. No. That doesn't fix a thing. What would be better is that you just yield yourself to Christ and say, Lord, I'm in this now. And I need your help. And he said, I'll never leave thee or forsake thee. Never leave thee or forsake thee. I know for some of us this has been a really, really tough passage of Scripture that we've gone through. And we keep going in chapter 17 through 24 next week. But it gets a little bit different, a little bit away from that difficult subject. But I want you to know, as your pastor, if you have gone through a divorce or you're in the middle of a divorce service right now, action, I love you. I pray for you. I'm not against you. Your divorce would be no different than my lying. It's not God's plan. It never has been. But we all know that people have done it. We don't need to look down our little forked nose and point our fingers at people who've gone through it. We need to pray for them. They've made some decision in life that hurts. It could have been 20 years ago. And it's still in their heart. Hurts. And in their hurt, We need to be remembering that we should be like Galatians 6:2 says, bearing ye one another's burdens. Because it's a great burden they walk around with. A great burden. So as your pastor, I'm not against you. I am 100% for you as an individual and as a child of God. So keep plugging. Keep serving God and keep going on and say, Lord, here am I. Use me. Because we need you. The Lord needs you. Let's stand to our feet.